Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Information presented is from internet or other news sources. Always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network, better known as trimradio.com. And we have a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, but we've also got to talk about Trim Radio and a couple of areas we haven't covered before. So I hope you're ready. I hope you've got your note-taking paper. I hope you have your pen. And if you want to check out all the sources that we're doing, all you have to do is go to our Facebook page, Money and Change / Financially Prepped on Facebook, and look in the comment section, and all of the stories that we're going to cover are going to be there tonight. And you can go and check our past editions on Facebook and see all of these stories we covered there too. So it's an easy thing to do. Well, hey, before we get going here, you know, it's winter time, or it's at least approaching winter time. And are you prepared for it? I mean, do you have your chains in your car for your tires, or a cold weather kit that you keep in the trunk with extra blankets and extra food? Batteries, flashlights, you name it. Are you prepared for that? It's going to get that way. And right now we're anticipating about an inch of snow here in Ohio, where I live in the western part, and up around Cleveland, they could get probably 8 inches of snow with lake effect snow. So you want to be prepared for cold weather. And that's just a heads up, because from now until probably March, that's what we're going to have. So let's get into the show and start talking about, well, as long as I hit the right button, as long as I start talking about trimradio.com and the Trim Radio Network and our founder, Michael Bejas, and we've got Roscala Stefan, and he's the chief operating officer, and he's responsible for day-to-day operations and so forth. He's a good guy. And the funny thing is, Michael Bejas builds computers, but Roscala fixes them. And he's a wizard. And I guess I'm the chief relationship officer, whatever that is. And we have Victoria Smith, who's the chief marketing officer. And I'll tell you what, if you have a situation where you need marketing advice, she's the person to go to, really. So you want to check her out. Also, the shows that we have Money and Change right here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We have Life Walk with Christ God with Michael Bejas, and that's Wednesday at 7 p.m. We have My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever, and that is Wednesday at 8 p.m. We have Victoria Smith's Natural Marketer Podcast every Thursday, so you want to check it out. We've also have Offsides, College Football Top 25. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's getting interesting out there. It's getting down to the very end. And I'll tell you what, I've been watching a little bit of football when I have time, but I also follow the University of Findlay. We'll talk about them later on, but they're rated number 9th in the country and number 2 in their region. And they are undefeated. So that's an interesting thing. But yeah, Michael Bejas covers Offsides College Football. Check him out. That's Thursday at 7 p.m. Positude Podcast every Friday at 8 p.m. Then we have Adventure Awaits Around the Bend. And that's going to be Saturday at 1 p.m. We have Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck every Saturday at 1:30. And late night, we have Red Pill Reality Show with Roscala Stefan. And I'll tell you what, he's on from 9 until midnight, And he brings in different guests on his show, and he talks about a lot of different things. And I'll tell you what, it's a good show. I monitor that show. I watch the show. I've been on the show. I'll tell you what, it's a good show. Trust me. We have three blank openings here. Pitch your own show. And you can do that. If you want to join the Trim Radio Network, all you have to do is contact us and give us your name, address, email address, phone number, cell phone number, and tell us what you want to do. And we'll get back in touch with you. And I'll show you that button here in a little bit. But you can also call us 803-303-8667. That's 803-303-8667. And you can pitch your own show. And it's easy to do. If I can remember to hit the buttons, you can too. Hey, one thing we haven't talked about is the vault. We haven't talked about that. So I thought I would just introduce you to the vault. All you have to do is click on explore episodes. And here they are, hosted by the different hosts. We have a new host, Peter Kling. And he's coming on board with his own show. And I'll tell you what, he's a good guy. I've known him for a long time. Check him out. We also have Maggie Hart too. So if you want to do your own show, check it out. Here we go. We have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pocket Cast, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and more. So here, you can check out the episodes from all the different shows. And here's Peter Kling's new show, Revelation. And that's going to be on. This was November 7th is when he first aired. And he's a really good guy. Trust me. And so that's what we have. And you can go back through all of the different shows, different episodes, just by clicking on the numbers at the bottom. And you can see everything that we've got there. And that's in the vault. All you have to do is just go to the vault. And if you want to support the shows, donate by advertising or by the merchandise. What did I say, by the merchandise? Yeah, we've talked about that before. Go to the shop page, and we have t-shirts and mugs and all kinds of stuff there. And what you buy, according to the merchandise, the money goes into the Trim Radio Network, and it buys airtime. And airtime is not cheap. Trust me. So you can help us out. We don't get paid anything for doing our shows. All we want to do is help people. Every one of our shows, that's all we want to do. Anyhow, we have the Money and Change / Financially Prepped page here on Facebook. You can join. All you have to do is contact us, and we'll go ahead and put you on the list. And we have all of our updates and different shows that we have. Anyhow, what I did, I had our lead page here, and that always shows up. And then I have our topics underneath. Shutdowns, GOP redirects, Democrat-supported insurance, Thanksgiving travel plans. How about cost of eggs, gas, and women's clothing? I don't buy women's clothing, so I don't have to worry about that. But I do have eggs, beef, maybe some smoked ham. I don't have smokes. And electricity, they're saying it's going to go up. We talk about SNAP, food stamps, and can't afford a vacation plan, who to blame, personal finance, how to do and prepare for 2026, and more than that. And also, we also post videos. And I find videos that are important, and I go ahead and put them here on the page. 12 heating sources you don't need electricity, stockpile now. Candles is one of them. So you can check out that one. Also have robbing groceries and homes. Check that one out. U.S. food banks across the U.S. under pressure. I have a friend that has a food bank, and I'll tell you what, there's a lot of pressure to feed people that are in need. Prepper Princess or Prepper Pantries unlocked, and this was the Rogue Prepper, and you want to check that one out too. And we just have a whole bunch of different things, okay? Shoplifting, groceries. It's getting rough out there, guys. So you want to be prepared, okay? So you can find those videos right here on our Money and Change / Financially Prepped page on Facebook. So that's a good thing to check out, okay? Wow, what else is going on? Well, we have to do a shout out to Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks. They're in Facebook, and all you have to do is check them out. They do custom pens and other things for you. It's all custom, beautiful work. Phil over at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens does an excellent job. So if you need a presentation pen or a gift pen for your college, university, sorority, fraternity, business, club, he's the guy to go to. He really has some good stuff. Also, a big shout out to the Big Family Homestead with Brad and Krista. They're out in Wisconsin, in the middle of Wisconsin, where it is getting cold and snowy. We have the Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King, but it's actually the Deep South Homestead at Pecan Grove. And they're good people. I've corresponded with them a little bit, and I'll tell you what, they're really nice. They talk about a lot of different things. Also, we have Southern Prepper One with Dave Kobler. I've known Dave for probably almost 16 years, and he's a really good person when it comes to prepping. He's really good at finance and things that are going on in the world of economics here in the United States. Anyhow, we also have Patriot Nurse with Rachel. She talks on a lot of different topics, and she's very, very good. You have to follow her. Also, we have the Prepper Princess with Amber Stork, self-made millionaire. And she knows how to live frugally. And she always says, live beneath your means. You can still live well and not spend a lot of money. And a lot of people around here need to understand that fact. You don't have to eat steak 2 nights a week. You don't need to go out to eat 4 nights a week. You know, a lot of different things to consider, and she knows how to do it. Okay? So check her out. Also, we've got the LDS Prepper, and I've told you about the GMRS radios. I can't say enough about them. I have several, and I can talk from my house to Dayton, Ohio, which is 35 miles away, no problems. And I can get on a repeater and get out 90 miles beyond that. It's a good thing. And for $35, you get a 10-year license, and anybody in your family can use that license to use the radio. It's a neat deal. So you want to check those out. I would not go to Walmart or Costco to get those radios. These you have to spend a little bit more money on, but you can get them at Better Safe Radios or buy two-way radios or places like that. So you want to check into that. All right. The last person up is Colby at the Max, and he does a monologue, and he talks a lot about what's going on in the economy and the world. So you want to check those out, okay? Well, what do we have going on here? Are you going to travel for Thanksgiving? Some people say, I can't afford it. I'm staying at home. And some people say, well, I'm going to go to Cracker Barrel, or I'm going to go to Bob Evans, or I'm going to go to wherever. And others say, no, I have to travel. I'm going to go visit people in Florida, or I've got relations out in California. I've got relations in New York State. I've got relations in Canada, and you're going to travel. Well, are you going to be prepared to travel? Are you going to be prepared for delays? Because right now at the airports, they're cutting back, and I believe they cut back about 10% the other day, and some of the flights are starting to stack up. In other words, they're not moving. There's a delay situation. And so if you make your plans now and the federal budget has not been taken care of, well, guess what? Chances are you're not going to be traveling. And your travel plans may just go right down the tubes. So you want to check things out. There was an article in Zero Hedge said, as Thanksgiving travel looms, airport chaos threat could force Washington to end the shutdown. And they said, ooh, this is bad. And it is bad. You know, what's become very clear, and Brian Sullivan of CNBC said, I think he basically nailed it, is what he did, is that the record-long government shutdown will end once the FAA mandate flight reductions start forcing airport closures. Well, it's starting to do that. They don't have enough air traffic controllers. And that may mean people up in the tower watching the planes, but also people in that tower that sit in these dark rooms watching radar to make sure no planes collide on the ground or in the air. And that's an important thing. So now with the final countdown underway, Washington political deadlock is set to trigger nationwide airport chaos in the very near term. Well, it is causing chaos right now. And it could get a lot worse. Double stacking planes now, we're taking off, but later flights going to be hurting worse, according to sources. And they're basically saying, we don't fly all private like many Congress people do. And that's Sullivan wrote in his early morning thing. And if you're going to fly, and you're going to be around a bunch of sneezing people, coughing people on the plane, what do you do for that? Take extra vitamins? Wear a mask. You know, that's one thing you got to watch out because of some of the stuff that happens on the plane. And I know friends that go flying all the time and they go someplace and they come back home a couple weeks later and they are sick. And they weren't sick when they went down to Florida, or they weren't sick when they went to Tulsa, Oklahoma. But they were on the plane. They got something on the plane. So you want to be careful with all of that, okay? So if the budget isn't settled, and rumor had it tonight that Congress was, actually the Senate was going to meet and try to work out their differences and get something passed, because we've got the travel deadlines, we've got people not being paid, SNAP. Beneficiaries aren't getting paid. The military is not getting paid. Air traffic controllers are not getting paid. It's getting nasty. And one side said, well, we voted for this bill, it's a continuing resolution, 15 times. And the other side keeps stonewalling and not voting. If I were you, I would get on the phone and call your congressman or your senator, and I would say, hey, get on the ball. People need to eat, and you're holding it up. Get to work. That's what we pay you for, is to get to work, not sit around and throw temper tantrums, okay? But be safe on your travels and make sure you've got everything that you need, okay? Next thing up, Trump urges GOP to redirect Democrat-supported insurance funds directly to the American people. Now, you know, we had a thing called the Affordable Care Act, ACA, better known as Obamacare. And people noticed when they got that, that they had a hard time signing up for it. And they had a hard time finding a doctor that they knew that would be covered. And the premiums went up. And up and up. And some people were saying that, okay, what they did was they gave the insurance companies a chance to make a lot of money. because they could overcharge for the services. And so what the current president has suggested, as of the last couple of days, is, okay, let's take that money and redirect it from the Affordable Care Act and refund it back to the American people. And that way they can purchase their own plans. Sounds reasonable to me. And anything to cut the cost of healthcare. Keep the healthcare standards high, but cut the overall costs. And a lot of that stuff, you know, when they came in with Medicare a long time ago, back in, in the 60s with Lyndon Baines Johnson, they had proposed that and they came out with it. And people thought it was a really good deal. But then they kept noticing that the healthcare costs went up and up and up because the doctors had to have somebody to handle all the claims, and they had to send it to Medicare, who had to settle all the claims and then pay the providers. And so the costs went up. There were days, and I knew a doctor in Sandusky, Ohio, and the doctor said in the early days, they could pay you in cash or they would barter for it and they would bring you a chicken for seeing the doctor. They would get you a couple dozen eggs or whatever. And that was a common practice. And this was back in the 40s and 50s and 60s. Now they can't. All they can do is just buy the insurance and pay through the nose, and hopefully they find a doctor that is covered by that insurance. And that's a problem. So let's see what happens. I'd like to see them fund that money back to the people to buy insurance, with the condition being that you have to buy insurance. You can't spend it on anything else. So that might be something to do. Oh boy, people are talking about price of food. I mean, the price of gas, beef, pork, chicken, price of cigarettes, the price of electricity going up. Well, there was an article in Zero Hedge, and you know, you see a lot of different things. But visual capitalist Marcus Liu breaks down the inflation by product type, revealing where Americans are seeing the biggest price changes. And this is the U.S. inflation by product type. So beef and veal are up 14.7%. Car maintenance and repair is up 7.7%. Home insurance is up 7.5%. Tobacco is up 6.9%. But I think you have some reduction because a lot of people don't smoke. Sugar and sweets. Now, oh, that's something close to my heart. There's nothing better than dark chocolate in my mind. But sugar and sweets are up 6.7%. Electricity is up 6.4%. And aside here, if your location is getting a data center, your utility costs are likely to go up because of electricity, because they are electric hogs. They use more electricity than you can shake a stick at, and they could strain the grid. So you want to be prepared to counter that if you got to buy yourself a generator, a solar panel, whatever. But cost of electricity is going to go up. The cost of water usage, because of the data centers, they use a lot of water. And so the cost of that will go up. Hospital services, they're up 5.8%. Water and trash collection is 4.8%. Postage and delivery services are up 4.7%. Tools and home hardware are up 4.3%. Health insurance is up 4.2%. And the list goes on and on and on. And you take a look at pet food. How many of you have dogs or cats as pets? Well, their food's going up 3.5%. And according to this, rent's going up 3.4%. I think it's gone up significantly more than that. Car insurance, sometimes car insurance is going out of sight. Here he's saying 3.1%. It could go even more. School tuition, 2.9%. And the list goes on and on and on. But when you get to fresh fruits, hey, it decreased by 0.2%, 0.2%. Gasoline went down 0.4%. Eggs are down 1.3%. Telephone services, 1.8%. Women's apparel, that I know absolutely nothing about, is 2.0%, okay? 2% down. IT hardware and services down 2%. So that breaks the U.S. inflation by product type down. I don't know how it is in your neck of the woods, but food's going up. The cost to feed the beef and the veal, the chickens, the pigs, whatever, it's going up. And when they have a die-off or a culling of beef for certain types of diseases or chickens, the cost goes way up. And they don't check each chicken. They just kill the whole flock in the, what do they call it, rootery? I'd say roastery, you know, cook them up. Anyhow, guys, that's the inflation byproduct type. So let me know how your inflation is on your food. I know food's getting expensive for restaurants because they keep raising their prices because their wholesale cost has gone up. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to talk about the University of Findlay, and you know I do it every show, no matter whether it's Money and Change or My World. I always talk about the University of Findlay. Why? Because it's a good school. It's a nice size school because they only have 4,700 students. The student to faculty ratio is 12 to 1. And that means the professor can spend more time educating you. The students are from 40 different states and 41 countries. And when I went there, we only had about 2,000 students. And we had about a 20 to 1 ratio for faculty to student. And the states, we were from all over. A lot of people were from here in Ohio. A lot were from New York, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, even Michigan, Indiana, places like that. Countries, 41 countries. I know I had friends that were from Kenya. I had friends from Jordan. I had friends from Israel. I had friends from South America. And you get to know these people and understand their culture. And they, in turn, are trying to understand the U.S. culture. But here we have 41 different countries represented. Ohio's 10 most affordable colleges, according to Money Magazine. The best Midwestern colleges in 2025, according to the Princeton Review. And then they have the best colleges in America 2024. That's Money Magazine. So I wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't a good deal. And they do give out scholarships. A lot of schools don't do that. The University of Findlay does. So you want to check them out. www.findlay.edu. And speaking of Findlay, guess what? The Findlay Oiler football team is totally undefeated. And track team's on their way. But I want to get back to the football team. Excuse me. These guys have had a tremendous season. Last year, they were 9th in the country, or 10th in the country. This year, they're 9th in the country in NCAA Division II football. This thing still wants to change on me. And I'll tell you what, they play a good schedule. They only have one more game to go. Track team, hey, they have a lot of stuff going on. You want to check about the sports. Here they are: baseball, basketball, cross country, football, golf, soccer, swimming and diving, tennis, track and field, wrestling. They had a national championship a few years ago. And we have women's basketball, cross country, golf, lacrosse, tennis, track and field. Hey, they have it there. It's NCAA Division II. Check them out. Good facilities, good coaches. And I'll tell you what, they've had some good teams. And I could tell you they've had at least 17 basketball players go to professional basketball, to the NBA. They've had some football players that have gone and played professional football. So you want to check out the University of Findlay. Okay, what else is going on? Oh, yeah, food stamps. You know, as of November 1st, they cut off funding food stamps. And then we had a district federal judge say, well, the government has to take funds and supplement the SNAP program, the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. And then they said, well, we can only do half because we don't have the funds, and Congress has to give us the funds. Well, Mr. President, you're supposed to go ahead and provide the money somehow, some way. And then they took it to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court says, Mr. President, you can't spend any money. You're not authorized to. Congress spends the money. The big fight. And that's what a lot of this is. It's a lot of political posturing and a lot of federal judges that think that they're God and they can order things done, despite there are laws that they can't do certain things, but the judges say, go ahead and do it anyhow. So then you have to go to the Supreme Court, and that takes some time. You just can't walk in and say, hey, I want a finding on my case. It has to be well presented, and you better have your good reasoning behind it. Well, anyhow, the program helps low-income households purchase groceries with monthly benefits averaging around $180 per person nationwide. And here's the food stamp map, and you can take a look at it. And, you know, basically, according to Bruno Venditti from Visual Capitalist, he said, while participation rates vary widely, the figures reveal stark contrast in economic need and cost of living across the states. And you can take a look up in Maine is 11.6%. New York is 14.7%, 15.0% in Pennsylvania. Here in Ohio, it's 12.2%. Indiana's 8.5%. You go out to New Mexico, it's 21.5%. Oklahoma, 16%. Texas, only 11%. And then you start taking a look. Well, look at Florida, only 12.6%. Hawaii's 11.3%. Alaska's 9.0%. Then you look at Oregon, 18.1%, California, 13.9%, but the lowest is 4.6% in Wyoming. And you might say, well, why is that? There are not that many people in Wyoming. And a lot of those people are cattle people, they're ranchers. And that's kind of a Wild West area out there in Wyoming. Beautiful country. And people are not reliant on anybody. They take care of themselves out there. They're hardworking people in Wyoming. So you take a look at the food stamps. And I'll tell you what. According to this, it helps about 12% of Americans put food on the table. And there was one person on the news last night, she said, you know, I don't have my SNAP anymore, and I've got six kids. How do I feed the kids? And the food pantries only have so much food to go around. And when they're out, they're out. And when they give out food, it's not going to be enough to feed everybody for a month, because they're having a hard time getting people to help stock the shelves in the places. I mean, it's a tough deal. It almost makes you think about the Great Depression back in the 1929-1930 era. I mean, soup lines and everything else. It's difficult. And what you need to do is live beneath your means. Pay down your debt. Put some money aside. You got to have money aside for a rainy day. I know I had to use mine to get my car fixed. And I just needed a part in a certain part of the engine, and that cost me $1,100 just to do that. So the rainy day fund is being used. So you pay down your debt, put some money aside, buy some long-term food, canned goods, freeze-dried, if you have the money, MREs, meals ready to eat. Make sure you have the clothing for the season. It's starting to get cooler here and probably real cold next week. So make sure that you have the clothing for the season. Make sure you have alternative heat. Make sure that you have those blue tarps for your roof in case you get a roof leak. A lot of things to consider. Make sure you have a good first aid kit. Make sure you have your medications. Make sure you can purify and store water, 3 gallons per person per day. It's a necessity. Make sure your equipment is in good working order. If you need to have oil in your generator and fresh gas, do it. It's a necessity. But that's what you do to prepare. And that's why we call our Facebook page Money and Change / Financially Prepared. Live beneath your means, save your money. You don't need to have Netflix all the time or high cable bills and so forth. You can learn to use and love an antenna. Because I'll tell you what, cable sometimes around here can be $300 a month for your phone, your internet, and your TV. And it gets expensive. And then what do you get? You don't live in front of your TV every day. So that's word to the wise. Live beneath your means. Okay, next thing we've got is you can't afford a vacation. How many of you have gone on a vacation? I haven't taken a vacation in 6 years. I can afford to do it. I don't. I live beneath my means. And if I wanted to, I could hop on a plane if I could find one, or else drive to Florida and live down there for a month. I can do that every year. However, I don't do that. And I haven't had a trip for 6 years. I do little trips in state and maybe out of state, one-day trip or something like that. But I'm watching my money because everything's costing more. So this article came out, Ron Paul, via the Daily Reckoning, and he says, can't afford a vacation, blame the Fed. And he's saying, according to data collected by the research firm Statista, and we've shown that on the show before, 29% of Americans cannot afford to take a vacation this year. A vacation is not only the thing Americans are struggling to afford. The failure of wages to keep up with the price inflation is why household debt hit a record level of $18.4 trillion this year, with the average household owing more than $100,000. Now that's news to me, because what do I owe? Only on my credit card, and I pay it off because I don't believe in paying the interest. And the card has to give me 3%. I get 3% back on everything that I purchased using that card, and I use it sparingly. I really do. I don't have any other debt. The car's paid for, the house is paid for, the clothes on my back are paid for. I mean, everything's taken care of. Why? Because I'm frugal. I watch my money. But yet I can afford to do things if I need to or if I want to. It's because I don't pay a lot of interest. I had a college roommate, and he got out, got married and everything, and he had credit cards upon credit cards. He told me one time, he said, I have 7 credit cards and they're all maxed out. And I said, why do you do that? You're paying on the interest and not the principal. He said, I got stuck. We just got a whole bunch of different things and I got under. I said, look, consolidate your debt and get things paid off. And cut up your credit cards. If you need to have a credit card, only one, and make sure that you pay it off as soon as you get it. I mean, they were in financial turmoil. I didn't have that problem. So you need to watch how you spend your money. Now, according to Ron Paul, he's saying the Federal Reserve is responsible for the decline in American living standards and the rise of income inequality. The turning point in people's economic fortune was around August 15th of 71. Well, that was after I graduated from college. And the Fed, according to Ron Paul, also contributes to the economic instability and inequality by creating bubbles that distort signals sent by the market. And so you have a housing bubble, and people are in debt for these houses that maybe would be $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 homes. And they say, well, we can pay it off over 30 years. When I did my home, I only paid it off in 15. But some people are in debt. They're in debt for their car. They're in debt for their house. They're in debt for their credit cards. They're in debt for maybe their college education. They get in over their heads. And let's face it. We live in a society that's based on credit. If you have good credit, you're fine. But it's all based on credit. Why not be based on cash? Okay? Here's a video for you. Can you truly be happy without money? Listen to this.
These two things, happiness and money, should not be considered in the same conversation. They have nothing to do with one another. Any more than water has something to do with eating food. Like what? Don't eat because you don't have water. What does that got to do with money? Doesn't make you happy. I'm like, I need money. I need money, and I want to be happy. And I don't know anybody that doesn't have money that can truly be happy. Because if you don't have money and you're happy, you're psychotic. Because dinner costs money. So the thing is, the people you're surrounded by are framing up. They're influencing what we're considering is possible. If you've ever seen a big home or a private plane fly overhead, people look up, get your attention, and the first question everybody asks is, dude, how did he do that? Yeah. Who is that and how did they do it? Or you see a big house on the ocean. Who lives there and how did they do that? And I think that's the thing that people need to start asking themselves. Every time you walk into a room, flip the switch. Every time you see something that you don't have, who is that and how did they do that? Because they're regular people. These are normal, regular people. These are not gifted people. They're not any more intelligent than me or you. These two things, happiness and money, should not be considered in the same conversation. They have nothing to do with one another.
I think he said that, didn't he? And I'll tell you what. If you live beneath your means and you watch how you spend your money, you could be happy. Maybe not as happy as you really want to be, but you can be happy. Here's another one we've got. Listen to this.
Through some of these to-dos. First off, your required minimum distributions. What are they, and what do people need to do about them?
Well, if you hold an IRA and if you're 72 or older, you have a required minimum distribution, meaning that you have to take a certain amount out of that IRA as prescribed by the IRS rules. If you don't do that by the end of the year, if you don't take that minimum distribution, you can take a 25% penalty for not taking the RMD. Now, that is just the penalty. You also pay tax on the RMD that was due when you eventually take it out. So it's something that is easily forgotten, especially by elderly folks who have IRAs, and it is a very costly penalty. So that would be number one on our to-do list from a time-sensitive standpoint. And then secondly, I think that there is a situation where most people are taking money from their IRAs. You need to judge whether or not that distribution that you're taking is enough to satisfy the required minimum distribution.
And then let's also talk about tax optimization and what people need to do as they get through the end of the year in order to minimize the amounts of taxes, hopefully, that they're going to be paying.
It's been a great year in the market, and a lot of people have gains that they have potentially even realized in their portfolios. You may have a loser there, and that could help you tax-wise. If you sell that loser, then you're going to offset some of the gain that you might have taken from some of the other holdings that you have. That is essentially called tax loss harvesting. If losses exceed $3,000, the IRS allows additional losses to be carried forward in the next year, but you net those out before you ever get to that calculation. So you could have a loss based on maybe a loser that you have in your portfolio, and maybe some gain could offset some of that loss, but you could then carry forward $3,000 into the next tax year. But all of that has to be looked at and calculated before year end or the tax loss harvesting becomes ineffective.
Gotcha. So the clock is ticking on that one. So those are the two that are a little more time sensitive. But the approaching end of the year is also a good opportunity to do some sort of, you know, good portfolio hygiene, if you will, right? So if you're looking at your estate documents, what are we talking about are estate documents, and what do people need to do with them sort of on a regular basis?
I think you, first of all, have to be sure that everything is up to date. Your wills and trusts are all in good shape. And a real key area that I see that a lot of people make mistakes in is sometimes there's a change in your family situation. Maybe there's a divorce or something of that nature. And maybe the estate documents are okay, but maybe the beneficiary designations need to be updated. Certainly, you want to look at all of these things. And the end of the year is a really good time to slow down and look at that and make sure everything is in line with where you need it to be. I would also say it's a great time to manage risk. There's a lot of risk that we all at various times manage, but it's easy for your property insurance to get out of line unless maybe you've made an addition to your house or something of that nature. The property insurance may not be up to speed and covering everything that you have. Liability insurance, as your net worth grows, your liability insurance needs to increase. And of course, life insurance, if you are responsible for bringing income into the family and that income has gone up over the years, your life insurance may be inadequate to do that. So reviewing that would be a real good thing to do toward the end of the year as well.
And then there's also just generally managing your risk, John. How should you be thinking about that, again, on that sort of regular cadence?
Well, I think that you know, when you look at your portfolio, you have to ask yourself, okay, do I have too much on the table right now in terms of equities? We've had a really good run in the equity market for the last couple of years. You may want to take a look at rebalancing some of that, and rebalance is one of those technical terms that we use in our industry But essentially what it is to the folks at home is taking some risk off the table and maybe putting that more into more calm, stayed type investments that you'll be able to use in your retirement. Rebalancing is certainly something that you want to continue to do throughout the year, but the year end gives you that opportunity to maybe couple rebalancing with some tax loss harvesting and clean up things that may be a mess going into 2026.
And John, we're almost out of time, but quickly, I did want to ask about changes in the economy. What's just one suggestion that you have for people to address any changes?
I think that you have to continue to be vigilant about what's going on in the economy. There's a lot of concern right now. Consumer sentiment just came out, and it's at a fairly low point of recent past. But the market seems to be doing well. About 83% of the companies that are reporting earnings have been positive or exceeding their expectations. So you have to begin to balance what the sentiment is against the reality.
John, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Well, I'll tell you what. If you have a situation where you have some spare money and you want to put it into precious metals, you can go to a lot of different places and you can talk to a lot of different brokers. And I just have one up here, APMEX. You can use them, silver.com, whatever. You find your own, do your own due diligence. But gold right now is over $4,000 an ounce, and it's up $23.30 as we speak. Silver is at $48.54. That's up 29 cents. That's what we call the poor man's gold. Platinum is $1,562. A long time ago, platinum was worth more than gold. But check it out. And precious metals are a hedge against calamity. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people are taking their money and putting it into precious metals. Something to think about. Of course, if you don't have any money to do it, save up your nickels and dimes. Wow, what else is going on? A lot. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. We are just about out of time. And it's getting scary out there. Pay down your debt, put some money aside, buy some long-term foods, store up on your water, make sure you have your clothing, make sure you have extra batteries for flashlights, things like that, extra blankets. Because I'll tell you what, it's going to get tough. So with that, we'll talk to you Wednesday on My World right here on the Trim Radio Network at 8 p.m. And we'll see you next Sunday with Money and Change. Start prepping because you're going to need it. With that, guys, have a good week and we'll see you on Wednesday with My World and again the following Sunday on Money and Change. See you.